Be thankful that you haven't walked away from God yet. Be thankful that you're still going to church, and understand that you can thank Him even more by taking what you've learned here today and that you learned throughout the weeks and the months prior and bringing it out there to the world and getting them in here.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is When God is With Us, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's message is When God is With Us. Let's please stand one last time in the house of the Lord in reverence to the reading of His holy word. When God is with us. Key verse is going to be Genesis 39, 21. I'm reading out of the New King James Version today. Genesis 39, 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our hearts to receive your word. God, I pray that you will anoint me to speak your word in the name of Jesus. Let us receive and go forth and to spread your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. How many of you have been betrayed by your own loved ones? On this level, this is incredible. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, falsely accused by his master's wife of adultery, right? Or attempted adultery. And then thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. Yet through it all, God was with him. God is with us today, the same way that he was with Joseph. But the question I have for you is, do you know that God is with you? See, the difference is that when you know that God is with you, then you know who's with you. Amen? And you know that you can get through no matter what's happening. So Joseph went through slavery. He went through betrayal. He went through false accusations, right? And he went through imprisonment. But he went through it with God. He never lost his faith. He knew from the beginning that God was with him. He knew from the beginning that God had something for him. And he never let go of that. He never let go of that through adversities. He never let go of that through imprisonment. He never let go of that through betrayal. That's what I want to talk about today. So first of all, my first point is, when God is with us, we dream impossible dreams. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I have an impossible dream from God. An impossible dream. Because listen, if it was possible, right, you wouldn't need God. Amen? Because God is the God of the impossible. Listen to Genesis 37, verses 5 and 7. Now Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. See, these guys were jealous of him. Ever have anybody jealous of you? They can't stand your guts, and you don't even know what you've done to them. Amen? Now you tell them about a good fortune that the Lord is speaking to you, and they hate you even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. He was trying to tell his brothers, I had a dream that I became a ruler over all of you. I was top dog and he was the baby of the family. Amen. See, in Joseph's day, the elder had all the rights. Amen? He was the leader of the family, and then it went down, down, down. But see, Joseph was saying, I'm the youngest, but I'm going to be raised to the top. Well, now the jealousy in their hearts even rose higher, probably higher than his dream. Amen? But now listen what he did. He said, now Joseph had a dream. Everybody say, I have a dream. Just want to make sure we're awake back there. Praise God. I have a dream, and my dream is from God. But now listen, when you tell your dream to somebody, get ready for opposition. Now, at the time of Joseph's dream, it would have seemed impossible that he would one day be a great ruler, second only to Pharaoh. Amen? It would seem impossible. How could this be? Here he was in a poverty-stricken home with many, many children, and he's got this dream that he's in charge of these people, right? Now, that seems impossible, doesn't it? But when God is involved in your dream, nothing is impossible. Joseph had faith in God and knew that the impossible was achievable by the great I am. So you got to understand something. When God puts a dream in your heart, you don't have to look around at your circumstances. You don't have to look around at your resources. You have to look around and see the great I am, because he is the one that is going to fulfill that dream. But it's important that we do what Joseph did. We keep believing no matter what we see before us, because Satan, people, and the world likes to put things in front of your dream to block your view, so that your vision becomes cloudy, so that you can no longer see what God has shown you in your dream, so that you become discouraged, disheartened, and give up, right? Satan likes to do that. The world does it all the time. People and friends do it to us as well. Amen? But listen, Joseph had faith in God and knew that the impossible was achievable by the great I am. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Don't you understand that you serve a God that can make anything possible? The problem is that sometimes we forget the dream that God put in our heart and we give up on it. We say, "Oh, it's just too hard, God. I don't see it happening yet, God. I just don't see how it's going to happen, God. I just don't know if I even want it to happen anymore, God. I'm so tired of waiting. I'm so weary of working for it." But God says nothing is impossible. Turn your dream that I have given you over to me and watch me fulfill your dream. Praise God. How do you turn your dream over to God? You give God your dream through faith. You give God your dream through faith. That means that you step back from your dream and you say, "God, you let this happen, because it's impossible for me to make it happen. So why am I even trying to make it happen? I just need to follow you. I need to worship you. I need to believe in you. I need to have faith in you, God." Amen. Then God can have your dream. Then God can have you. See, that's what he really wants, right? That's God's dream, is to have you, is to have your heart, is to have your surrenderedness to him so that he can work his will into your life and make his dream for you come true. Everybody has a dream from God. They just need to ask him, "What is it, God? Fill my heart with that dream." Amen. When God puts a dream in your heart, it will be impossible for you to make it come true. He must make it happen. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, "God's got to make my dreams come true." If you're busy trying to make your own dream come true, you're busy running yourself ragged. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to grow weary. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get tired. But listen, when God's got a hold of your dream, it may not look like it's going to come true. It may look like it's still impossible, but you're going to have peace going through that dream. You're going to have peace because you're going to know that God is in control of that dream. Amen? That means that the world cannot say, "Oh, it's not going to happen." And that moves you, because you got peace from God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? When you pursue your dreams from God and tell others about them, like Joseph did with his brothers, many will oppose you and try to discourage you. Don't you hate it when you tell somebody some good news? "Hey, God told me this." And next thing you know, the naysayers come out. "Well, you can't do that." Or, "I'm not going to let you do that." Or, "I hate you for that." Well, guess what? They can do all they want to do, but if God is in control of your dream, they better watch out, because God is a dream maker. Amen. God is a dream maker, and he will make your dream happen despite your enemies. He will make your dream happen despite your opposition. In fact, the more opposition that comes up against your impossible dream, the more glory God gets for making it happen. Amen? Praise God. All right, my second point is, when God is with us, we succeed even when the odds are against us. Let's go back to Genesis. This time, 39 verses 2 and 3. "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Now, let's look at this. The Lord was with Joseph. That's the first ingredient into your dream, is that God is with you. Amen. And when he was, and because he was, Joseph was successful. Listen, if God's not in your dream, there's going to be no success. If you keep saying failure after failure after failure after failure, maybe you need to invite God into your dream. Maybe you need to invite God into your life. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm tired of losing all the time. God, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for some success. But listen, when God is with you, right? Even the people around you can see it. Even the master of Joseph saw, whoa, there's something different about this guy. Everything that Joseph touches is blessed. Everything that Joseph touches succeeds. There's something different about this guy. Why? Because he had God in his dream. He had God in his dream. That's the difference. See, you don't need to lift yourself up when you got God, because God will do it for you if you will humble yourself. Amen. Joseph was humbling himself and he was serving God where he was placed. Yes, he was a slave. Yes, he did have a master, but did that detour him? No. He worked with all of his might and he did his best to serve where he was. Praise God. That's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to stop looking at the job that God gave us. We need to stop looking at the cars that we drive. We need to stop looking at the houses that we live in. We need to start looking at the God that we're serving. Amen. And if he deems you to have a better house, better job, better car, then he will fulfill that for you. Amen. You will get the peace of mind that you need when you are serving God in faith like Joseph did. And people around you will see this person is succeeding because they have a dream from God and they're trusting God for that dream. Praise God. When we are obeying God, everything we are involved in becomes a blessing to ourselves and others. Listen, you know when God's involved because you're not the only one being blessed. See, it's selfish to sit there and say, well, God bless me for the sake of me. No, you want other people to be blessed with the things that God is blessing you with. God is never going to give you something that you can hog for yourself. God is not a selfish God. God wants to give you things so that you will share it with other people. He wants to use you as a vessel of blessings. Amen? Tell people I'm a vessel of blessings. It is not of myself that I have the word of God. God trusts me with the word of God because he knows I spill it forth to other people. He knows I'm not keeping the word for myself. Amen. That's the concept. When God gives you something, get ready to let go of it. Release it, because God never intended you to have it all to yourself. Right? That's greed. Amen. That's stinginess. No, when God gives you something, he's ready for you to release it onto other people and to share it. Praise God. So listen, when we're obeying God, everything we are involved in becomes a blessing to ourselves and to others. That's the important thing. Other people need to be blessed by the blessings that God is spilling into our lives. If we're just keeping all the blessings for ourselves, God's going to stop blessing you because you're greedy and you're stingy and you're not sharing what God has given to you. Amen. Amen. Everybody follow what I'm saying. The principles of what Joseph was doing. God gave him skills to serve his master and he served them. He could have been lazy. He could have been bitter. He could have said, look, I'm a slave. I'm not getting paid for this. Why should I do my best for my master? I don't like where I'm at. I don't like where God placed me. Woe is me. Right? He could have whined. He could have grumbled, but he didn't do that. He did his best where God placed him. And he knew that God placed him there. He may not have liked it. He may not have enjoyed it, but he certainly embraced it. Praise God. Nobody said you have to like everything that comes into your life, but you certainly have to embrace it knowing that it is from God. Praise God. The odds might be against us. The outlook might seem bleak, but with God, we will succeed. Understand that when God gives you a dream that's impossible, there's going to be odds stacked up against you. It looks like you're going to fail. The outlook looks bleak. It doesn't look like a good outcome is coming. Amen. But that's when God does his greatest work, because that's when God gets the greatest glory. Because when it looks impossible, when it looks bleak, when it looks like the odds are against you, God steps in, usually at the last minute, right? Some of us have been there in trials and tribulations where God has stepped in at the last minute and boom, success happens. Success. And you know it had to have been God. because you tried everything you tried and it didn't work, did it? Amen? But then God stepped in and you succeeded because you trusted him. And when it was time for him to step in, you knew you had to obey. That's how it works. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen what this scripture is saying. When you got trials and tribulations in the world and people and even your own self is beating on yourself, because you know you're your worst critic at times, right? You know you can come down on yourself pretty hard, can't you? But listen, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You don't have an enemy bigger than your God. You don't have an enemy bigger than God. God can take care of your enemies. But you got to live an obedient, faithful life to him in order to achieve that success over your enemies, over your trials, over your tribulations. Understand how it works. You can't live like the devil and be blessed like a saint. It don't work that way in God's kingdom. You got to get your life in order with the book. See this book? This is the book that gets your life into order. You start reading this and getting wisdom out of this book called the Bible. When you get that wisdom and you start applying it to your life and stop worrying about the lives of other people and say, God, fix me. I'm the one that needs to be fixed. This is my relationship with you that I'm talking about now. When you start doing that, God is for you. God is for you. He wants to make a change in you before he can use you to make a change in others. Praise God. Because there's some fixing that needs to be done. But if God is for you, nobody can be against you. Nobody can be against you. Oh, they might try. You know what I'm saying? When you get that dream, they'll come out of the woodwork. When you start telling people about your successes, they'll start coming out of the woodwork, coming up against you. But praise God, he's with you through obedience and faith, and he's going to take care of you. Praise God. Number three, when God is with us, our adversities become blessings. Can you imagine that the very thing that's causing you trouble, when God is with you, can be your blessing? Embrace your adversity when you know God is with you. Listen to Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. Joseph said to them, he's talking to his brothers. Understand that his brothers have found out that Joseph has been elevated in the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. He's a ruler of all of Egypt. Only person he's got to answer to is Pharaoh. And his brothers who put him into slavery are shaking at the knees because now they see their brother who they enslaved, who they sold, who conspired to kill him, right? Now they see him over him like his dream showed him. This didn't happen overnight. This didn't happen overnight, did it? This took some time, didn't it? But listen, Joseph says to his brothers, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, brothers, you meant evil against me, but God, I love those two words in the Bible, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Listen what he's saying. God meant what his brothers did to him evilly. God meant it for good. God said, look, I see this evil you're doing upon my servant Joseph, and I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to make it good for people. Not just for Joseph, because Joseph ended up saving all of Egypt. Remember what he did? He stored up the food, right? Because there was a great famine, and God gave the Pharaoh a dream, and he interpreted, and he knew what to do. He knew how to handle it. But listen, Joseph was not ready for that blessing at the time that he got the dream. Understand that when Joseph got the dream, he was not ready to get the blessing because God has got to work some things in and out of each and every one of us in order to receive the dream, in order to get the dream in our heart, in order to obtain the dream and then hold on to the dream. If God would have blessed him right after the dream, he was probably spoiled, undisciplined, unruly. So God allowed those trials and those tribulations into Joseph to break him. Some of us need to be broken. Some of us are saying, God, bless me. And God's saying, no, I need to break you first. I need to break you because you're stubborn. I need to break you because you're not trusting me. You're trusting in yourself. So Joseph had to be broken before he could be blessed. Some of us need to be broken before God can move us to the next blessing. Otherwise, he'll give it to us and we'll just lose it, right? But listen, the things that happened to us, the things that happened to Joseph, we got to understand that God uses those things for good, for good. With God, one person's troubles can lead to another person's blessings. Don't you understand that I've been through some trials and tribulations? And through those trials and tribulations, God delivered me from myself, from sin. And he raised me up to be a pastor. And now there's a blessing to other people. I would like to think I'm a blessing. Praise God. I would like to think that I'm a blessing. We should pray and ask God concerning adversities and how he can use them to bless others. Don't you understand? When you're going through something, you need to step back from yourself, stop the whining, stop the woe is me, and say, God, enough of me. What do you want to use this for? What can I do in this time of testing, in this time of trouble, in this time of adversity? What can I do in this time, God? What can I learn so that I can be a blessing to other people? Because God knows you don't want to go through it again and again and again, right? You want to learn what God's teaching you while you're going through it the first time, right? You don't want to keep going around the mountain like the Israelites did for 40 years. They just weren't getting it, right? Stiff-necked people weren't opening their hearts to God, weren't trusting him, no faith. Don't you understand that God's going to bring you through a desert to get you to your dream? He did it to the Israelites. Why would he work any differently with you? There's got to be a dry place for you to go through so God can teach you to trust him so that you can receive the promised land he's trying to deliver you to. Now, the Israelites weren't getting it, were they? They were, oh, we can't go into there. There's giants in that land. There's too much problems. We can't take that. We can't do it. They never learned to trust God. So they went around the mountain 40 years. Some people that are Christians today, they are not asking God, what is it I should learn in this adversity? What is it that I'm not learning? Why am I stuck in the same rut over and over again? I feel like it's Groundhog Day. You may ever see the movie Groundhog Day? You wake up, it seems like, man, this is my life. Every day it's the same thing. I can't seem to get out of this rut. And God is like, you're not asking me what you ought to be learning. I want to teach you something. I want to show you something. I want to bless you, but you're not receiving the change in your heart necessary to keep the blessing. When God blesses you, he wants you to keep what he's given you. He wants you to keep it. See, Satan wants to steal it from you. The moment he finds out that God is ready to bless you with something, Satan steps up and says, oh, no, you don't. God may be giving it, but you're not going to be receiving it because I'm going to make sure that I bring enemies out of the woodwork, naysayers, and I'm going to discourage you. I'm going to distract you. I'm going to take away your faith to receive it. That's what Satan's doing. He's planning that against you. And unfortunately, too many Christians today listen to his voice. And he talks to us in many different ways. He talks to us through the world. We turn on television. It's so negative on TV. He talks to us through jealous friends and jealous family members. Amen. And he talks to us in our own discouragement, right? Sometimes we don't need the other stuff. We got ourselves talking against us. Oh, I just never get anything good. Woe is me. I'm such a failure. Man, you got to turn that voice off. You got to turn that voice off because it's not up to you to be a failure or a success. It's up to God to bring you through. All you got to do is be obedient to God and believe that what he has told you is going to take place. See, when you believe God, you're not believing in yourself anymore. Now you're out of the picture. Now you're believing in the one and only true God that is going to deliver you. Now you're putting it on his shoulders. Now you're saying, well, I'm not looking at me anymore for my dream to come true. Now I'm looking at the dream maker. Now I'm making my focus on God because I know God can do all things and I know that I can do all things to what? Him who strengthens me. Amen. Praise God. Now you see the formula. Stop relying on yourself. God never intended you to make your dream happen because if you make it happen, then how is it him blessing you if you could have done it on your own? See, you got to have that impossible dream achieved by God because he's not going to let you do it by yourself. Praise God. Satan wants to use your pain. Listen to what Satan wants, though. This is Satan's plans for you. Satan wants to use your pain. He wants to use your enemies and your troubles to hurt you and others. But God can turn them into blessing. See, God, he wants to take your hurt and your pain and your troubles, and he wants to turn it around and use it as a blessing. But the whole time that God is bringing you through this object lesson, Satan is whispering in your ear, do you remember when? Do you remember when you sinned? Do you remember when you hurt others? Or do you remember when others hurt you? He brings up the past, doesn't he? Satan likes to make you live in the past. He wants you to live yesterday. He don't want you to live for today for God, because God is a God of the present. God is the God of the living. Amen. He wants you to live in the dead past. The past is dead. The past is dead. Satan wants to keep you in the realm of the dead. He wants to say your dreams are dead. He wants to say your past will never, ever, ever allow you to have a future. But listen, the reason why it's called the past is because it's over with. Your past is over with. Tell Satan, my past is over with. I don't care what you accuse me of in the past. My future is eternal with Christ Jesus. That's my future. You tell it to him. You let him know who's in charge. Not you. You're not in charge. God is in charge. We have victory through Jesus Christ. And so you know your future. So you could tell Satan, listen, I know about my past, but let me tell you about my future. Oh, and Satan, by the way, while we're talking about people's futures, God's got something for you too. The pits of hell. That's where Satan's going. That's where, and he don't want to hear that. See, when you start telling him the word of God, he'll leave you. He'll leave you. But Satan wants to use your pain. He wants to use your enemies against you. Don't you understand that when God gives you a dream, that's when those old acquaintances that never cared about you show up. Have you ever noticed that? When something good is about to happen, that's when the people you can't stand start showing up. Here they are on your doorstep. Who is it? It's trouble. It's your enemy. Remember me? Yeah, I haven't seen you around the wall. You haven't been around years. And they look at you and they say, that's because you haven't been blessed in years. But I heard there's a blessing coming, and I'm here to take it from you. That's how your enemies act. And they always show up when a blessing's coming. Why do you think that's true? Why do you think that? You know it's true, right? But why do you think that happens? Because Satan is calling them up and saying, hey, your friend over there is about to get blessed, and I know you don't like him, so go pick on him some. And they're listening to him, and they're right on your doorstep. Oh, I heard there's a blessing over here. Give it to me. Give it to me. No, you can't have what God has given me. Joseph wouldn't surrender it. Did Joseph surrender his dream? Did Joseph surrender his dream? Did he give it up when he was a slave? Did he give it up when he was betrayed by his brothers? Did he give it up when he was thrown into prison? He didn't, did he? He stood by God, the dream maker. He stood by God, the deliverer. Amen. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. When I first heard that, I was mad. Because my life at the time I first heard this was not good. And I said to God, how could this be good? You're not working anything good for me. And God said, why don't you read that scripture again? To those who love God. When you're not loving God, you're not following him. When you're not loving God, you're not having faith in God. See, love is an action. Oh, you can get all the warm feelings you want, but unless you show me, this is Missouri, right? Show me state. You ain't showing me love without action. Agape love is God's love in action, right? Listen to this. Jesus showed us love by going on the cross. He could have told us all day long, I love you, but I ain't dying for you. That's not love, is it? Love is an action. Love is going out and loving people in actions, right? We got to do an action. But listen to this. Listen to this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. The first time I heard this, I was a baby Christian, and God said, you weren't loving me. That's why you got yourself into this mess. But I'm still going to work it for good. It's just you're not going to see the good when you want to see it. You understand that? You don't always see the good at the moment you want to see it. We always say, hurry up, God. And God tells us, if we listen, hurry up. Why, I'm waiting on you. You ever hear that from God? You tell God to hurry up, and God says, I'm already there. I've got the blessing right here. Where are you at to get it? Well, I'm over here, God, doing my thing, and I'm waiting for you. No. No, sometimes God is telling us, I've already got the blessing for you. It's already here, but you're not following me. You're not following me in order to receive all of the blessings I have lined up for you. Understand that when you take a detour in your life of Christ, when you take a detour in your faith, you can and will miss blessings. You can and will experience delays. And there will be a time when you'll be in front of God. And I don't know if he will do this, but he's capable of it. He might show you the life he had planned for you versus the path you chose to take. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Christ never told us who was going to be doing the crying. Might be a lot of saints crying when we see what we missed with God because we were not listening, because we were not following in faith. But if we love him, if we show him that we love him, then our dream that he has for us will be worked for good. But now listen, it goes on. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, I'm sorry. Does it say your purpose? Does it say your purpose? Your will be done? No. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Our prayer should be, Lord, your purpose be done. Your will be done. Show me what the purpose that you have for this to be done, God. I'm just a vessel. That's true prayer. That's true pouring out of oneself. That's true surrendering. God, not me, you. Use me, God. Pour me out like a drink offering. Praise God. So in conclusion, I want to say, we must have dreams in order to have them fulfilled. Some of us have stopped dreaming. Some of us have given up on what God has already shown us in our heart. How many of you had a dream and you're not thinking of it anymore? Anybody? Anybody had a dream? We got one honest person back here, but she raises her hand for everything. We must have dreams in order to have them fulfilled. 9 years ago, I said, God, put a dream in my heart. Put a dream. I want a dream. My pastor was talking about dreams like I'm talking to you. And I said, I want a dream. Please give me a dream. And shortly after that, I was called into ministry. Was I a pastor the next day? No. Listen, we must have dreams in order to have them fulfilled. Ask God today, wherever you are right now in your life, ask him today to fill your heart with a dream from him. Say, God, let me put my dreams to the backside. I want a dream from you. Show me, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? Give me that dream. Fill it in my heart. Believe me, you ask God for that dream. It may not come at the moment you ask. I don't know. I don't know. It might come next week, next month, next year. I don't know when God's going to answer that prayer. But he will answer that prayer. It might even be that he's already placed a dream in your heart and he'll remind you of that dream. He'll remind you. Could be that you had a dream long ago and you are off the track. You are off the track. But God can bring you back on. Amen. Okay, now listen to this. Don't look at the odds. Look at your God. The number one thing Satan wants to do is to get your focus off of God. He knows while you're focusing on God, God is focusing on your dream. Amen. That's the formula. You focus on God. God, I'll go wherever you lead me. Understand this. Your dream could be sitting right over here, but God ain't going to take you that direction. He's going to say, look, you see this Red Sea? I'm going to part it because you're going to go through it. But my dream's over here, God. I know where your dream is, but I'm going to take you all the way around to get to it. See, God never takes you straight to your dream. Understand that if you're going straight to your dream, it may not be from God, because God likes to take the long road, because it's a journey and half the fun is getting there. Amen. Half the fun is getting there, because God on that journey is going to teach you some things about yourself, about other people, and most importantly, about him. About him. And the more you learn about God, The more you get intimate with him, the more you're going to learn about other people and realize that God wants to use you as a vessel to bless those people. God wants to use you as a vessel to make a difference in people. Don't you understand that I know that your lives are hurting in some way or another, but there's always somebody else out there that's hurting more. How do I know? They're not in church today. No matter how bad your life is, if you're on your way to hell, it don't make a difference anyways. Understand that you're blessed at this moment because you are in church. You are hearing the word of God. The Lord has placed you in front of a person who is speaking the word of God into your life, and you should be thanking him that he is not starving you for the word. What do you guys do when somebody doesn't want to hear what you have to say? You stop talking to them, don't you? Don't you? Be thankful that God has not stopped talking to you. Be thankful that you haven't walked away from God yet. Be thankful that you're still going to church, and understand that you can thank him even more by taking what you've learned here today and that you learned throughout the weeks and the months prior and bringing it out there to the world and getting them in here so they can be blessed. Praise God. So don't look at the odds. Look at your God. And when you look at your God, he's going to put you to work with your dream in mind. See, the things that God's telling you today may not make sense, but it'll lead to your dream's fulfillment. Amen. Man, when the odds get stacked up against you and you know God has got you on track, you look at him and you go, ha, I'm not scared. I got my Jesus in front of me. They have to get through your God. Understand, your enemies have to get through your God when you're being obedient and faithful to him. So you look at your God. And last, you ready for this? Because this one don't make sense in the flesh. Embrace your adversities. Turn them over to God and allow him to work them for his good. Listen, when an adversity comes into your life, you need to get on your knees and you need to say, oh God, I can't do this, Lord, but this is what you intended. God, you want me to be at my weakest so that I'll be at my strongest. So here I am, God. I'm weak. I'm defeated. And now I need you to step in for me. Man, when you surrender to God like that, God says, woo, now I'm here. Got you out of the way, troublemaker. Now I'm in charge. You see, God will give you free will. People like to talk about free will, don't they? Especially people who don't go to church. Well, I believe that God gave me a free will. I don't have to go to church if I don't want to. Very true. Very true. You don't have to do anything God tells you to do, but there's a consequence, right? Just because he's not forcing you to do something or not to do something doesn't mean that there isn't something to pay for it, right? You don't listen to God, your life will reflect that, okay? If you're young right now and you're not listening to God, give it 20 years. People will look at you and say, man, that person didn't listen to God when they were in their 20s. It's all over you. Amen? Us older people, we know. We look back on our lives and says, man, if only I was in church when I was 20, when I was 15, when I was a kid. If only I believed God sooner. But listen, embrace your adversities. Turn them over to God and allow him to work them for his good, right? Your adversity is there to teach you something, right? Sometimes people have adversities because God is trying to teach somebody else something. Turn your adversities over to God. Let him have them. You can't defeat them by yourself anyways, right? The world might hate you. Your family might hate you. Your friends might desert you. But Jesus will never leave nor forsake you. So that gives you all the more to be thankful for. You understand that we're not to compare ourselves to other people. We're to compare ourselves to the Holy God. And when we compare ourselves to him, we see how humbled we should be. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.